So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe. Frische Netzsekt, verschiedene Sorten, je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 3,49 Euro. Und außerdem Emira Klettscheiben, Natur, je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,22 Euro. Sichere dir außerdem bis zum 24. Dezember 10% Rewe Bonusguthaben auf Weihnachtssüßwaren. Nur in deiner Rewe-App. Frohe Weihnachten. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Hello, this is Kat Bailey, Editor-in-Chief of US Gamer, and we're starting a little project here over at USG. We are calling it the Dialogue Box Podcast. It's a conversational podcast in which we have people from all over the industry, directors, producers, developers, influencers, people who come from all walks of life who have something interesting to say about video games. And the reason that we're doing this is because I sort of feel like we haven't seen a lot of truly interesting podcasts in the games industry. A lot of them are still, for better or worse, four people sitting around a table talking about games or gaming news and that kind of thing. And I think the time is ripe for podcasts that delve a little deeper, that get into it a lot more. And this is hopefully that podcast. And the person who's going to be hosting this is an old friend of mine who goes back to the days of 1UP. He's been around forever. He has met so many people from so many different walks of life, and that is Jeff Green. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Hi, Kat. I'm well. How are you?
Jeff, how did we... Do you remember when we came up with this podcast?
It was probably at one of our various lunches that we've had over the course of many, many years.
Yeah, it was definitely over a lunch. I was like, you know, Jeff, like, I have a project for you. And I thought you would be perfect because you're on GFW Radio. I mean, you have a long history with podcasts. You were a podcast pioneer.
Before anyone even really knew what that word was, we were using it.
And what was that like, honestly? I mean, you guys must have just been kind of finding your way through, just trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, we really were. We were doing it, of course, at the same time as 1UP Yours and all the other Ziff podcasts. And we weren't the only ones, but I think at that time, everybody was still just figuring it out. Like, we didn't have this humongous library of mainstream podcasts to try to emulate. We were just kind of making it up. And I don't, you know, honestly, at the time, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, like, none of us even really took it that seriously. We didn't really think it would necessarily stick. It just seemed like something to try. But our main business at that time was still putting out a print magazine, which is, remember those?
So when I got into the games industry, you had just left the games press, basically. And it was kind of it's been an interesting journey for you. Can you kind of like walk me through it?
Yeah, it really has. That was 2008 when I left. And honestly, I left pretty reluctantly. I did not feel like my time in the gaming press was over. The times kind of decided it for me. Especially back then, there weren't really too many outlets to actually work at and make a living at. And at the time that I left, I was also at editor-in-chief level. And there weren't many other positions available, you know. People had these jobs and were, like, never going to leave, just like I would never have left if Ziff Davis hadn't imploded. And unlike a lot of game journalists and former game journalists, it had never been my secret desire to actually make games. I never, you know, it was not a gateway for me to actually do that. I just wanted to be a writer and journalist. You know, that wasn't my natural move, just to go work at a game company. And yet, of course, that is what I ended up doing, because those were where all my connections were from having been a journalist. So I ended up first at EA. That's the first place I went straight from being a journalist. And I worked on the Sims team with Rod Humble. I got that job because I knew Rod, who was at the time the head of the Sims studio, from interviewing him, and we thought it would be a great idea for me to come and work on that franchise. And yeah.
Yeah, EA was an interesting time for you, for sure. And man, I don't know like how many bridges you want to burn or like how much you want detail you want to go into that. I know that we had many, many conversations over the years about your EA time. And then you exited EA and you spent some time working for PopCap. And then, of course, EA came in and PopCap as well.
EA bought PopCap. Yeah, it's like I couldn't escape.
the black hole of EA.
Yeah. Yeah. One day I'll have to tell the story of that, of the day I found out. But, well, I can tell you briefly, which is that my boss at PopCap at the time, on the day before it was being announced, I was actually back east looking at colleges with my daughter, and I got a call from my boss in Seattle, where PopCap is, saying, I need you to get on a flight and come home pretty much now. And I said, you know where I am and what I'm doing. Like, really? Is it that important? And he said, it is that important. And I either asked him at the time or I asked him when I was on the plane, like, am I getting fired? And he said, if you're going to be fired, we wouldn't be doing it this way. So no. so that was good to know.
Do you think I would really pay for a transnational ticket just to fly back to fire you?
I would have just said, just stay in Boston, Jeff. Take all the time you want looking at colleges. But of course it was to tell me that this was happening, and it was basically like, please don't quit, was sort of what really that he wanted to tell me. And of course I didn't. There was no reason for me to do that. It wasn't that bad with EA. It was just a rough transition to go from a place where I was a journalist and could say anything I wanted to within reason without being libelous, to being at a place that had, you know, a really kind of buttoned up policy about what you can say and not say. And you know, if I could do it all over again, I'm a lot older than I was then, you know, I probably would have kept my mouth shut and behaved a little better, but I was too used to the freedom of the press to be able to conform to EA culture. So I went to so EA bought PopCap, and I left soon after that, but not because of that. Really what happened was EA, there was a lot of restructuring that happened at PopCap.
Now you've started your own business.
Yeah, who would have thought? Though now that I'm doing it, I kind of wish I had done it like 20 years ago, because turns out that being your own boss is actually kind of fun. It's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of stress. There's no question. You know, if I need to complain about the boss now, it's just myself. You know, I'm the only one I can get mad at. But the consultancy, which I've been doing or working as a consultant since 2013, really has given me the opportunity to meet all sorts of different people. And I think most importantly, it's really given me a much deeper dive into how the sausage is made with all of the games, the entire process. You know, you learn a lot as a journalist and as a writer when you talk to these folks, but there's a lot that you don't see. There's a lot that they don't tell you. When you go and visit a company and they're showing you a game, you are really getting a dog and pony show compared to what we get when we come in and they're like, okay, here's the build. It's totally broken. Please help.
It's really eye-opening the first time you play a build and it has memory leaks and it just slows to an absolute crawl because it's not working. It's not polished up for demos.
Right, right. They do their best when the press comes in. Of course they do, because they, you know, they want to make a good impression. It's a lot different. And also their attitude is different too when you're walking in as a consultant and not as a journalist. You know, they're a little less on edge. They're a little less defensive. And they're a little more open. So you just learn a lot.
The way that this podcast is going to work is that each week we're going to have a different guest. You're going to be talking to them, having a pretty casual conversation. This isn't going to be like NPR or anything. And we're going to hear interesting stories. We're going to learn a lot about how games work. We're going to be hitting it from all different angles. Like I said, it's not just going to be you know, people who've been around games forever, though we will be talking to a few of those, hopefully. And it's not just going to be game developers. We'll also be talking about talking to journalists. We'll be talking about talking to people who are in the influencer space, heck, esports people. The sky's kind of the limit. Jeff, like, who are you really excited to be talking to during this series?
Some of the people I'm excited to talk to are the people that I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking to, and people whose jobs I don't know as well as just the developers. You know, like you said, we are going to have a couple developers, a couple long-time, big-time famous ones, if everything goes well. But we're also going to have at least one studio head on. And honestly, I don't know what they do for a living other than sign people's paychecks and tell people to work faster. I think it's going to be interesting to... Right,
I mean,
exactly.
That's what I do. I'm in the EIC space, right. Like, work faster.
Yep.
There
you
go.
Then you can sign off for the day. Your work is done. I am...
Jeff, work faster. There you go.
Yes, Ms. Bailey. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. You know, just to find out what it is like to be these people and what it is like to have these jobs that most of us, you know, can only imagine. Doesn't it seem like it'd be easy to run a game studio?
No, it sounds like one of the hardest things in the world, actually.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out, I guess. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think that one of my hopes for this podcast ultimately is that people come away feeling like they understand games just a little bit better, because I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about how games are made or how the games industry works, or, you know, even if you look at an influencer, how they're making their money or what their hours are like or how hard it can be, because you see so many people are like, I want to make games for a living. I want to be a game writer for a living. I want to be a streamer for a living. And like being able to go behind the scenes and see what their day to day like is honestly really interesting to me, because I don't know, you read Reddit, you read Twitter, you read social media, and there's just a lot of wrong-headed assumptions about how the games industry generally is.
Yeah, I think that's true now, and to some extent, it's probably always been true. I mean, I was just talking with my coworkers yesterday about how I think the entire time that we were in the press, you know, each of our parents would be like, so you make games, right? You know, like there's always just kind of a wrong-headed assumption. But even, for those who do make games, the assumption that it's just fun because it's games, or that it's easy somehow, or that it's not stressful. You know, these are like real stressful jobs. People work very, very hard. I think there's just a lot of misconception around that. You're right. Yeah.
But it can also be pretty joyful. Like, I don't want to be a huge downer. I've said on Twitter that I still get a little bit of a thrill, for example, when I open an email and I see a code for a game that I've been really looking forward to, and I'm like, oh man, it's finally here. Like when Final Fantasy VII Remake code came in, I was like, I can't believe I'm finally playing this game.
Right.
This is ridiculous. And I get to play it a month before everybody else.
And you get
it
for free.
Right?
And you're playing it for work. There's no question. It's actually a great point you made. And when I ran the magazine, I used to always get angry at people who on the staff who would start complaining about the work. And I would just be like, man, you need to go get like a real job for a little while, because you have no perspective here. You're showing up at work at 10:30. You know, you're playing games at your desk most of the day. You're working for maybe an hour and you're complaining. You know, wash dishes for 8 hours, then come back. So, yes, it's both sides of the coin. It's easy to think that what people are doing is easy and not a lot of work. But there's definitely the truism that at the end of the day, we are working in video gaming, and that's fun. We're not making nuclear bombs.
I'm really excited to get this podcast off the ground, and we're going to be having our first interview launching on June 10th. So make sure to subscribe to this feed, keep an eye on social media, keep an eye on all the threads and everything. And we will continue over the next several weeks with a different guest each week. And we will wrap up the first season after about 7 guests. And hopefully it goes really well and you guys really enjoy it. And then we can go and commission a second season. And that would be great. This is the kind of podcast I would want to listen to. So I'm really excited to be editing it. Thanks to all of you for listening. And please enjoy it. Jeff, do you have anything you want to add before we wrap up?
Not really.
I'm excited to do it.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And for more great game coverage, go check out usgamer.net.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.